Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
The guys I'm going to tell, Bill, the guys I'm going to tell that I interviewed you are going to go nuts. It's the only time they even pay attention to me is when I say that I've interviewed you. They do like you. They still like you.
I think that might be more on you, Mike, than me.
You be careful. My eyes are on you right now. You be careful.
Never more careful.
I mean, he gets this way when he knows nothing about the subject matter. So.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. And we have to start the program today, we are delighted once again to welcome a man who I agree with across the board about every little thing in the whole wide world. No, that's a lie. He's Bill O'Reilly. He has a brand new book, Killing the SS, debuts. It debuts on the New York Times bestseller list at numero uno. It is number one, and it is this one really does look fascinating, about the hunt for the worst war criminals in history. And Bill O'Reilly, you all know who he is. He doesn't need any introduction from me. Let's welcome him back to the program. Bill, how are you?
Good, Mike. Thanks for having me in.
Great to have you on. I have many, many things to discuss with you. Rob will signal me when I've gone too far, but I have to say it's a delight to have you on the program, even though when I have you on, I get so many of my friends sending me letters and yelling at me for having you on the program.
Why is that? They don't want to hear the truth, or they don't want to hear common sense? Why are they...
You know, Bill, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, but it's...
Fear.
I'll tell you something. It's fear.
It's fear, Mike. Of course it's fear.
When he does that right out of the gate, I hold his book up right here. That's a cool... That's going to sell. You're going to sell a gazillion copies just on the cover alone. That is a scary cover of that book. That looks. This one looks really, really cool. Is this historically speaking? And we'll ask you about the book later because I want to get to the politics and all the good stuff. But this this book, is this the most recent history that you've addressed in any of your books?
Yeah, I would say so. We've done three World War II books. I mean, this is post World War II. We did Killing a Rising Sun on Japan, Killing Patton on Europe, the defeat of the Nazis. And then I had a lot of material left over from Patton about how these Nazi criminals got away after the war. So when I saw the rise of evil in America, which I'm real concerned about, I said, you know, I'm going to write this book with the overarch of trying to get people to acknowledge this true evil in the world and not turn away from it. That's the theme of Killing the SS, and it's relevant today. But yeah, this is the most recent history, eighth in the series, 19 million in print, and the most successful nonfiction book series of all time.
All right. You know, you mentioned the rise of evil, and I want to dive into this before we go on, because... you wrote a column about the Jim Acosta move, and I wanted to ask you about that. I was going to ask you about that before I knew about the column, but it's a major deal this week with the hard pass from Jim Acosta. And by the way, for those of you that don't know, a hard pass in the White House is it's full access. It's more access than the average person. You don't have to submit credentials again. It's the big pass that most of the major White House correspondents receive. They revoke it because they said he accosted an intern, which isn't true. And you write about the way that Acosta handled himself. And you talk about the fact that the adversary relationship that exists on CNN with this president. And I understand that, and I think there is a lot of hostility towards this president on CNN. But, Bill, what you didn't mention in your column is you didn't talk about the president's responsibility in this and the tone and the divisiveness. And I think, really, when I look at that, it's a two-way street. And when you throw in the fact that Acosta was, you know, he didn't accost anybody out there. He didn't harass this intern. He was just asking a question. I agree with you that it was disrespectful. But don't you think that this climate, that the president shares a tremendous amount of responsibility for where we are right now?
I disagree somewhat on that.
Shocker.
Let's walk through it.
All right, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. In a logical way. So Trump takes over and is elected president of the United States.
Right.
During the campaign, the press basically dismissed him in the beginning as right. some clown. And then as he became more successful, they tried to demonize him as, you know, an incompetent game show host, a corrupt real estate guy, whatever it was that day. So Trump saw all of this. I mean, he saw he wasn't getting the same coverage as, say, Jeb Bush was getting. I think everybody would agree with that so far.
I agree with
right?
you. I do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So Trump then, you know, he's in this game, and he's never been in it before. He's used to fairly favorable press as he, you know, when he was a celebrity. Now he's not getting it. So he doesn't really know how to process this. Now, I interviewed Trump probably more than anybody else during a campaign. And I basically told them, look, I'm going to be fair to you, but it's no cupcake. And if you want to Google those interviews, you can see I was very tough on him. But I was fair, and I didn't try to disparage him personally. So anyway, he gets elected, and then the same thing starts with a intensity up about 100%. So the big media, New York Times, Washington Post, the Network News, they basically say, okay, we're going to get him. We're not going to cover him. We're going to get them. And the orders went out. And I know that to be true because I know all these people.
Now, what do you mean by that? Wait a minute. What do you mean the orders went out? You make it sound like there's
the
some...
The orders went out from the chieftains, the guys who control the editorial flow in the individual news organizations. And the orders were very clear. We don't want him running the country. Find a way to get him out. Those were the orders. Right.
I just I know you're saying it, but when I hear that, I just wonder about that. That sounds suspiciously like a conspiracy theory to me.
It was an economic thing and personal with the newspapers because the newspapers are losing a lot of power and they despise him. But it was economic on television. So MSNBC and CNN both set themselves up as the hate Trump places to go. And they made money doing it. And Fox,
Bill, do you hear that? Hold on, Bill. Do you hear that? Do you hear that? Let me interrupt you for a minute. Do you hear that? Can you hear that hum? That hum is 50% of my audience seething at you right now.
Look, I don't care. I mean, I'm telling you the truth.
Okay, sure.
If they don't want to hear the truth, then let them go to CNN.
So they had it in.
The economic decision was made.
Right.
By these corporations to either hate Trump or like Trump.
Right.
And they've all made gazillions of dollars doing that. All right? That's it. That's the truth. So Trump knows this. All right? And the only way that Trump feels that he can fight back and energize his base is by going into a position of attack. Attack, 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 attack. All right? So that's what he does. And now you have the journalism industry trying to destroy him, not cover him, not tough coverage, because that's what I did for 45 years, and I do it on BillO'Reilly.com every night. Not oversight, not holding accountable, get him. Okay. So then Trump basically sees that his base, the people who voted for him, like the attacks on the press, and that encourages Trump to do more of it.
Yeah, and then at your former home, they do the opposite. They prop him up, and
not everybody.
That's true.
The Washington crew at Fox News does not like Donald Trump. And here's another truthful statement that your 50% of your audience may flee in terror. When Roger Ailes was running Fox, he didn't want Trump to be president.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't think he could run the country well. He wanted a more establishment Republican. So there was no Fox News at that point during the campaign wasn't favoring Trump at all.
Well, let me get before you go. Anyway, I've only got a limited amount of time. I've got a limited.
Is it Trump's fault that Jim Acosta is trying to humiliate him at a press conference? That's the question. And
I don't know whether I'd agree with that characterization of what Jim Acosta was doing, but at the same time,
now, Mike.
No, right, but I understand how you feel about
it.
I disagree. I disagree because I think he is. Look, he's asking a question the way he did.
Ask a question.
Presidents get tough questions all the time. The president had characterized the caravan as an invasion, and that's what he was talking about. I just want to cut right to my next question because we only have you for a limited amount of time. Would you? If you're running the White House press corps, do you revoke the pass? Do you think that was a good move on the part of the White House?
I would have done it not a long time ago. I would have done it.
All right.
If I were the president of the United States and I told someone to sit down at a press conference and the person did not sit down and continued to harangue, then I would revoke the credential.
All right. I wasn't sure what you would say that.
I've interviewed five presidents.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and some of them I liked, some of them I didn't. But you must respect the office of the presidency. If you are,
I bet I passed that test. By the way, I bet I passed the test of the ones you liked.
Asked you to sit down.
Right,
you sit down.
Okay, that's fine. We'll agree. As we always do, respectfully to disagree on that. I will ask you this though, because this one I think I know the answer to, and it speaks to one of your former colleagues over at the Fox Network. And this is something I don't think I would ever see Bill O'Reilly do, no matter what the circumstances were. I don't think I would see Bill O'Reilly invited by the president to speak at a campaign rally like your colleague Sean Hannity was and get up on that stage. I don't care whether you're an opinion host, whether you call yourself a journalist, whatever it is. I don't think that was appropriate and I don't think you would do it. Would you would you have done that or would you not do that?
No, I wouldn't do it. But I talked to Hannity.
You think he should have done
it?
Okay.
I would not have done it. But I talked to Hannity about it. All right? I spoke with him about it. And I said, look, tell me what happened there. And because, Hannity knows the optics of that. I mean, he understands that. He goes, I was really in a tough position because I wasn't originally scheduled to say anything, but I was standing there because Hannity had interviewed the president formally for his program before, and then he turned and he asked me to come out. So what am I supposed to do? Say no?
Yeah, and, you are, in my opinion.
You know, what I would have done, and I told Sean this, I said, well, I wouldn't have never been around the stage because you know how Trump is. He might do that. But did Hannity... It's all about intent. So I believe that Jim Acosta's intent, and I could be wrong. You might be right. That would be a miracle, but I could be wrong.
There we are. Thank you.
Yes. Jim Acosta's intent wasn't to diminish Donald Trump in his statement about the invasion. I could be wrong, but I'm not. You know that. His intent was to diminish Trump. But was Sean Hannity's intent to go and give a campaign speech for Donald Trump? I don't believe it was his intent, but I do believe that Sean Hannity wants Donald Trump to prosper. But he's pretty much upfront about it, where Acosta isn't. See, Acosta says, oh, I'm just a reporter. I'm just asking tough questions like Dan Rather did and Sam Donaldson did. That's just me. I'm just asking tough questions.
Really hurts me when you're picking on my man, Jim. You're really hurting my feelings there. It really is. We're talking, in case you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Bill O'Reilly, author of the book Killing the SS, The Hunt for the Worst War Criminals in History, available at Target.com through our website. And please pick that book up. I want to ask you about the elections now, because it was an interesting evening. Good and bad for both sides. What's your takeaway from the Dems grabbing the Congress with the significant numbers and a few horse races, including where I live here in the great state of Florida, recount territory. But arguably the Senate went the Republicans' way. What's your takeaway from election night?
Well, I think that the Trump administration and the president himself have to learn a lesson here. And that is that many of the votes for the Democrats were not made on policy. All right. They weren't voting against Trump policy. They were voting against Trump himself. All right. So when you break down the exit polling, the women who broke for the Democrats in the suburbs basically were saying to the exit pollers, we just don't like him. We like the economy. Oh, we're kind of happy that ISIS isn't around anymore, but we really don't like him. And so that is the big takeaway for the Trump administration and the American people. If this continues, then there's a good chance that President Trump will not be reelected if the Democrats can come up with a candidate, which is a big if.
Were there any big surprises for you on election night? Were there big one, any particular races that you what do you think of my state of Florida? Did that surprise you that that those races went the way they went?
I couldn't make any predictions about it beforehand because Florida's changed. Mm-hmm. It's a much different state when I taught high school down in a suburb of Miami. It's much different now. The dynamic is there's so many people coming into Florida because they don't want to pay state tax up in the Northeast. That it's almost like Nevada in the sense that there's a lot of liberal people moving from the Northeast to Florida. A lot of minorities who are attached to the Democratic Party. So it's very, very tough to predict what's going to happen in Florida. And obviously the results are razor thin there. Very divided state. Trump definitely has to win that if he wants to be reelected. So, you know, in that kind of a regard, I think the big takeaway on the vote, on the midterm elections, is Donald Trump needs to course correct in the way he presents himself. But his policies are fairly successful, and that's why they kept the Senate.
Do you think that with the Mueller investigation and firing of Jeff Sessions, do you think we're going to see any movement? Do you think he would conceivably make a move to threaten the Mueller investigation? Or do you think it's going to play out and we're going to get a report and that report's going to be public and we're going to see the results? How do you think that's going to shake out?
I don't think Mueller has anything on Trump. And I say that because Rod Rosenstein and Trump are kind of pals now. And Rosenstein is overseeing, and Rosenstein knows what Trump, what Mueller has. So they wouldn't be pals if Mueller had something directly on Trump. So, you know, all of my analysis, Mike, is based upon what I see in a factual realm. So I don't believe that there's any danger to President Trump as far as he did anything that's indictable or impeachable. How Mueller presents itself, presents it, you know, we don't know. If there is going to be, let's say, Don Jr. is indicted or something like that, it'll be a big story. Yeah, that'll be a major thing.
Yeah, and you've interviewed the president, but have you ever had much contact with the little guy, with Don Jr.? Have you ever bumped into him at all?
I've met him once.
What do you think?
He's a nice enough guy, you know, but I'm not real concerned about what he says or not. He doesn't have any power. I met him once. That's all. I've never interviewed him. I had a rule when I was covering the campaign that I didn't interview any surrogates at all. None. I wouldn't take anybody from any Clinton's side or anybody from Trump's side because I didn't want to hear propaganda. Propaganda is a waste of my time and a waste of your time.
But you know what's great about having
any of those people? And I met Don Trump Jr. last summer, and he seemed to be an intelligent guy. We had a decent conversation.
All right. I want to ask a question about you personally. One last question about politics on the good guy team, the guys wearing the white hats, the Democrats. Let me ask you this. Do you see any candidates that are rising to the top that you would, putting your prognostication cap on, would say, I think it's likely that that this person's going to be the front runner? It seems like an awful lot of people are going to put their hats in the ring for 2020. We're at that stage now, midterms behind us, where it's going to happen. Anybody you see that that might rise to the top on the Dem side?
Well, the big winner is Joe Biden in the midterms. Because the radical leftists, I think the Democratic Party understands they're not going to beat Trump. So Bernie Sanders, leftists. Elizabeth Warren, Kamala Harris, they have no shot.
None. I like the way you put AK-47s in their hands and calling them radical leftists.
The moderate precincts, you have three contenders there. You got Biden, far and away the best known. He can raise tons of money. You got Bloomberg, former mayor of New York City, doesn't have to raise money. He's got billions. He's going to run. And then you got Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York State, made the big mistake with the United States has never been all that great, but wants to run and has the ability to raise a lot of money. So those three at this point would be the main contenders.
All right, before we ask you about the book, I want to ask about you. As you know, doing the podcast every day, continuing to write the books, my question to you, have you taken this change in your career path to slow it down? Have you been able to chill, enjoy, smell the roses, enjoy life a little bit?
It's keeping me off.
Okay, all right. I just wonder with everything you've been through, you know, I mean, it's crazy. I wonder whether you slowed down a little bit, maybe enjoyed life a little bit.
No, and it's not a good thing. When I was in corporate journalism for 45 years, all right, 12 corporations that I worked for, and I had a great career. I mean, it was unprecedented success. But you come to a point where crazy things happen, and they happened to me, and I just said enough, enough. I got my money, and I decided to start my own news operation, BillO'Reilly.com. Now, that's been far more successful than I thought it was going to be. I mean, I have to be honest. I thought it was going to be like a hobby.
Yeah,
well,
so did I.
Well, now I'm running a big, big company.
Yeah, I wish I could say the same. I understand. And isn't that liberating a little bit?
No, because I got to do editorial and business. Now, we're taking on more people now.
Right.
We're doing more things. I didn't want to put sponsors on a podcast. I never, and now I have to do that.
Right.
Because we have to hire business people and accounting firms and all this stuff. I mean, the thing is just going through the roof.
Yeah, this segment brought to you by Trade Coffee.
With other people, and then people want to buy us out. And I mean, it's just crazy. And at the same time, I put on a half-hour news program, news analysis program every night.
Right.
And, so I'm sitting here going, what happened?
Right. Okay. I'm surprised at that.
So to answer your question, I'm working as hard as I've ever worked. And, you know, I would prefer not to work this hard, but I am. I find myself in this position.
Well, before we let you go, and by the way, I say this every time you come on, and it's important to point out to our listeners, because I will get people that are frustrated, and I'll get people to say, hey, that was pretty balanced. And but Bill does not put any restrictions. So why we're able to talk about everything before we talk about his book. And that is why you're on this program all the time, because we love having you on, because you do that. And the book is Killing the SS by Bill O'Reilly. This book, to me, really seems like one of the more exciting non-historical type of books, more reading like a spy novel. Pretty cool stuff in this book.
They all do. I write in that style as a former history teacher down in Opelika, Florida. And if you haven't been there, Mike, you absolutely have to go.
Where the hell is that? Where's Opelika? Where's Opelika located?
Opelika is a slum, and I'm, with all due respect for the people who live there, but a very tough neighborhood north of Miami, still in Dade County.
All right, got it.
Anyway, you know, I wrote Killing the SS like I write them all. There's no accident that you have 19 million copies of these books in print. And that's why you learn a lot, but it's not a burden to read it. It's exciting. And the absolute outrage of these SS monsters being helped by the International Red Cross, elements of the Catholic Church, governments, the Odessa, which was an organization set up to get these people out of Germany after the war, all of the intrigue and the violence about tracking Adolf Eichmann, Joseph Mengele, Klaus Barbie, the butcher of Lyon. I mean, we tell all the stories. And everybody that, not everybody, but the people who've given me feedback have basically said, look, I open the book and then I'm up all night. I just can't stop reading the book. And we're happy it debuted at number one on the New York Times, which I'm sure they're thrilled about. I'm waiting for my fruit basket from them. you know, look, we put out an honest product. We put it out on the BillO'Reilly.com. We put it out in books. And America's a great country. You know, people respond to it.
Bill, I always appreciate you coming on. Later on today, I will be getting together with all of my extremely right-wing friends from Iowa and Ohio and Illinois. And, you know, when I tell them I interview you, they always get a little bit excited. Is there anything you'd like me to share with them? A thought you would have about me, Mike O'Mara?
When you say extreme right-wing friends, they don't like me. In those precincts.
Oh, the guys I'm going to tell
that I interviewed you are going to go nuts. It's the only time they even pay attention to me is when I say that I've interviewed you. They do like you. They still like you.
I think that might be more on you, Mike, than me.
Bill O'Reilly, thank you very much for coming on the show. The book is Killing the SS. Thank you. Come on anytime. We love having you on the show.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye. There he goes. Yeah, that was a lovey-dovey send-off.
It was.
Right there. Okay,
it was nice.
Bye.
Sometimes you sound more like him than he does.
Mike. Yes. He's so successful, he has no time.
I know he has no time. I knew he'd answer that way. But that's great. Always great to have him on. I'll have him on again. Yeah. He does not set any parameters.
Buy me out. Yeah. All right.
I didn't want money.
Didn't want to editorialize.
I don't know.
And listen, for those of you who are going to send me, let me tell you something right now. For those of you who are going to send me, that are going to send me the emails and they say, Mike, Mike, you could have been hotter on Bill O'Reilly. Bill O'Reilly is Bill O'Reilly. He never will. You're not going to do that, so you just let it happen, and then you try to get your words in edgewise. And I don't know. I think it's always kind of a kick to have him on this show.
I like when you get him off script and you ask him about, getting out of the business.
Are you happy? I'm not out of the business.
Right. I'm not happy.
Only one restriction that he wanted when we were going to speak to him, and I remember when he said it to Rob. He said, I only want one thing. And Rob said, what's that? And he said, we'll do it live.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Jiminy Glick. I recently interviewed the wonderful Pope Francis. He's a celibate who loves the tango. So apparently it only takes one to tango. Also, unlike his predecessor, he is a humble man. He's not wearing the fur-lined cape, except, of course, when he has Lady Gaga tickets. I also interviewed the wonderful Elton John. And I'll let you all in on a little show business secret. Gay. I also interviewed the late James Brown. Well, I didn't interview him, but we carpooled together to the women's shelter to pick up our wives. Let's be honest, celebrities are our touchstones to where was I and when. I think we all remember where we were when the Queen had Diana killed. I certainly know where I was. I was getting some polyps removed from my duodenum. And the doctor had just berated me because I had forgotten to fast. Suddenly the head nurse came running and announced that the princess was gone. It felt like someone had taken a knife and plunged it deep into my gut. And then, of course, I realized the doctor was still in mid-procedure. But aren't you in wonderful shape for someone who's let himself go? And whatever cosmetic surgery you've had, I'd say 20% more and then I'd stop.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana.
And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
We are live from the Podcast Village Studios in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. The Mike O'Mara Show, or TMOS to our friends, is a worldwide podcast and radio show with a family of listeners who are unrivaled in their love and support for their program. If you're a first timer, sit back, relax, and prepare to be entertained.
Oh, yes, boy.
And for our longtime friends, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for spreading the word every day about TMOS. We appreciate it. From Portland, Maine to Spokane, Washington. From Washington, D.C. to Sacramento, California. From Botswana to Tokyo. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now. And it is brought to you by the Ding Dong Daddy of NorCal Realtors. We're talking about Mr. Alex Pooh. We love him. If you're a Northern Californian, Alex Papp loves you too, and he wants you to buy a home. Analysts predict that interest rates will rise by the end of the year, so right now is the best time to buy. Let Alexander Papp show you how. See what Papp has on tap. Alexander makes it. Oh, God. I have to spend so much time with you this morning. Anyway, analysts predict the interest rates will rise by the end of the year. So right now is the best time to buy. Let Alexander Papp show you how. See what Papp has on tap. He makes it easy. Finds the perfect home. Writes the offer. Works through the inspections. Does everything. Even finds you a lender. Stop looking at homes online. Give Alex a call on his personal cell phone. He'd love to hear from you. 916-276-2129. That's 916-276-2129. You can rap with Pap.
Yes.
It's a snap.
Yes.
And that's no crap.
Shuck,
I should really not. That's the word I should take out of the
commercial. Yeah, I agree.
Crap doesn't work.
It's good for a Pap. Friday.
Thank you. Alexander Pap is licensed in the entire state, but focuses exclusively on Northern California. And he's got Redding, Chico, Truckee. He'll even sell you a goat from Ukiah. So shut your yap and clap for Pap. Stop renting. Call Alex the NorCal Realtor today. 916-276-2129. BRE 019-860-31. Prado Real Estate. It's a snap with Pap. And we thank you. And thank you to Mr. O'Reilly, Bill O'Reilly, who people will give me crap for talking to him. They always do, because Bill and I are totally different when it comes to almost every idea that's ever been invented in the world. But I still like him, and I still like having him on the show, and he knows what he's getting when he comes on this show, and that's fine.
You must have had a different course load than him when you went to Marist College together.
Yes, he was, you know, he studied hard. He was never in the room. He was never in the dorm room.
I forgot you were roommates.
Of all the misinformation you share about me on on the airwaves, that might be the one that sticks the most. People really do think, and it's because of my advanced age, they really do think that, you know, because I have an O in front of my name, too, they really do think that we
were Marist used to assign them, they would assign roommates based on your heritage, right? So all the Irish would be all together, and you'd have a room with him.
You know, Maddie was surprised this morning to learn that he was not actually roommates with Bill.
Yeah.
Really?
That's the one that sticks. That's the one that sticks. That is the one that sticks. And, you know, my memories of Marist are fond ones, because I don't talk about it a lot, but I was 2.5 hours away from Hartford, just outside Hartford, Connecticut. And so far enough away to matter, but close enough where if I wanted to go back for a weekend and see the familia, I could. But the disconnect culturally and the disconnect geographically for me was total, because the when I went to Marist College in the late 1970s, the campus, it seemed like it was all New York students, all New York from Long Island and from around New York City. And I was just a fish out of water. I didn't know. And I was, you know, I was 3.5-4 hours away from New York City, but I was completely removed from that element. It was not where I lived, was not a New York suburb.
Forgive my ignorance here. Marist is in Connecticut.
Marist is in Poughkeepsie, New York.
Oh, it's in New York. So they got the in-state tuition then.
Yeah. And what you've got in Poughkeepsie is Vassar, which was a woman's school.
A girls college. Yeah.
Just an amazing one of the Seven Sisters, you know, one of the all time great learning institutions of the world. And then you had Marist. So that's where I went. And
Did it have a reputation a la a VCU as someone's safety school? Like you applied there in addition to something.
Sure was for me.
I'm just curious what the reputation was.
Yeah. When I got my SAT scores of 4.
was that combined, really, or was that just verbal that you got
combined,
4?
Combined. 2 and 2 math, 2 verbal. And it was a safety school, but when I got there, I don't know how to put this without sounding like kind of a braggart. But when I got to Marist, I'm going to say this as delicately
as I can. Please.
When I got to Marist, I did not connect with the student body, with the dudes on my floor, with the guys, like I wanted to. You know, one of my great memories, I think it was 1978, when Bucky Dent hit the home run against the Red Sox.
Yes.
And I was in there with another New England kid, and they knocked the books off my shelf because they were pounding on the wall so hard. So that was the way I always remembered it, being a square peg in a round hole. What kept me going was at Marist, while in a certain respect, my high school career was very lean, in the areas of love, my college career seemed to temporarily, I should say, blossom a wee bit. And it was, let's just say, there were moments of discovery that I found extremely satisfying. It was a wonderful time.
Was it with the same guy that you watched the Red Sox game with?
No, not at all.
Are you saying, if I'm reading between the lines?
Yeah, and just try not to be a pig, please, at this early hour.
I'm not the guy that requested a fake doll to be on the bonus show.
Excuse me, that is going to be a funny show.
By the way, it's a real, real doll. It's not a fake doll.
Are you grossed out by that prospect?
I'm a pervert, but it might be bridge too far.
You know, can I tell you why I requested that? Look where you are, look where I am.
No, he's sending one down to you as well.
No, he is
yes,
not.
Yes, he is. That was the only way we're going to... Of course.
Not. It should be by 11 a.m.
It's not
going
to be here by the time of the show.
No, it's 11 a.m. One just for you. He's a big fan.
Listen, what Oscar's talking about, he's skipping ahead in the script because he's tired. But let me just say, we're going to have on the bonus show this week... That's a whole segment. We could talk about that. We're going to have the guy that makes the love dolls. He's going to be
in Manassas.
In Manassas. We're going to have him on the show, on the bonus show. That's it. Where the hell was I?
Okay.
What were you saying about what? Now you threw me for a loop.
You were saying about when your formative years
at Marist.
Yeah.
Things,
you were laying more lumber than the other guys.
No, not the other guys. No. I'm talking about for the only perspective I have is me. And it was, I should say. That my track record in the ways of the fairer sex, I love it when people say that.
Yes,
I was someone who was very inexperienced, and I was someone who was very wide eyed, and because of that, because of my lack of contact, it was all I thought about, and so when that happened, it was really. Really fun.
So what
it
happened?
Was really fun.
He arrived at Marist, and after spending all of the previous years in an arcade, he found Pac-Man machines on free play, and he took advantage of the situation.
It was just there was the one of the greatest moments was this. I Rob, you like this because I don't talk about Marist.
No,
I
you don't. It's in sort of a dark period where there's not a lot to be known about you.
I was there for 2 years, transferred out, didn't find any real connection there. Liked the school. And immersed myself in the theater program and was recruited by a family friend to be what was called, for those of you, and not many people know this sport, so I was recruited to be a crew jock, which people don't realize. I was recruited to be an oarsman for the Marist College crew team. And I got up there and, once I was in the school, it kind of helped me get in the school. And because it got me into the school.
Do you think that being an oarsman was a calling card for the young ladies?
No, because I never rowed for Marist. I got up there and the one thing, I can't remember the details of why it happened, but I don't think I ever even got in a boat for Marist. It was 5:30. And I just said,
screwed the university then. They brought you up on the pretext of being an athlete.
Not like I got a scholarship or anything. I just was there and I was going to do it. I got in the door because of that. And it was a family friend. And I remember stressing out when I saw the schedule. I didn't want to be on the water on the Hudson River in the middle of November at 5:30 in the morning.
Also,
I didn't want to do it all night. Yeah, well, that was my partying schedule. Mm. That started when I was in middle school.
And sometimes, I will tell you this, it was a party of two.
Yeah.
That's what I meant.
Okay, can you get past that? I know, because you're jealous.
Yeah, you're right.
Jealous of me. You're jealous of me.
Nearing my 48th year.
Oscar's not jealous because he's probably doing the same thing. Yeah. But you're VCU,
pulls
I know you were bagging groceries. I know that's what happens.
That's only bagging you were doing.
Hey, I tell you. Hey.
Yeah.
So the only thing.
So true.
So I did that, and then I got into the theater program. And I will tell you one, I will never kiss and tell. But I will tell you one. I will tell you one story.
Yes.
Can you remove the hostility with this whole line?
I'm
bragging a little bit.
Freshman year?
Can I brag about something 40 years ago
Absolutely.
While you were in your dorm going, all right, can I, seriously, all right?
Yeah, they still named the stucco ceiling after me.
Oh,
Johnson
stop,
Hall.
Okay.
He's
incapable, and that's why he never,
ruins
gross.
It. He ruins it.
You know what,
so
I would
gross.
Like to apologize
this is a regular
to everybody.
Show.
You're right.
Is this how you would ruin it with women?
No, absolutely.
No, I ruin it with women with my fists.
What?
I don't know what
that's
means.
That's not funny.
It's not violent.
No, it's not violent.
Pervy.
No, it is just pervy.
It's still gross. I'm going to throw up in my mouth.
No, I ruined it with women.
I'm going to turn your microphone off, and I'm not even there.
Mike, I ruined it with women because...
God, can you get over this? You can't handle this. You are to shut your mouth for the next 20 minutes.
You got it. You got it.
All right? All right. You will speak when spoken to. You cannot do this.
Sir, yes, sir. Okay.
I am so grossed out by you right now.
Weird.
You are so broken. It's not even.
I am.
It's not even funny.
I am.
Oh my God. I don't know where to continue right now.
You were saying.
It's disgusting.
As a younger man.
In a state of shock. All right. I immersed myself in the thing. You be careful. My eyes are on you right now. You be careful.
Never more careful.
I mean. He gets this way when he knows nothing about the subject matter. So, it's like that scene in 40-Year-Old Virgin where he's like, I feel like sand.
It's the same way Oscar gets when we talk about, you know, like the English language. He's very uneasy.
I immersed myself in the theater program. And one of the last plays I did was A Streetcar Named Desire. All right. And there is there's an actress who was in a lot of the plays who was absolutely beautiful, beautiful. Mm-hmm. And she was in the play with me, and she had, I believe, at the beginning of the play, she had a boyfriend. And it's not that we were friendly and we had a lot of scenes together, but there was absolutely no indication to me whatsoever that this woman had any interest in me whatsoever. And I will tell you something, that all the fellas had a strong interest in her. She was lovely. Mm-hmm. And she carried herself in a wonderful way. She was very, very sophisticated, and she was great on stage.
Classy.
And she was classy. She was just, and there was an intimidation factor that as rehearsals went on, she played Blanche DuBois, mm-hmm. the lead,
sure.
the star of the show. And I was the second male lead. Playing Mitch, which was the Carl Malden role. You know, I was kind of I was the second guy. I wasn't Stanley, who had all the sexual tension with Blanche DuBois.
Lots of makeup for your role. Lots of makeup to resemble Carl Malden.
No, we didn't have the nose makeup. Okay, but thank you. And I thought you were going to speak when you were spoken to.
At least I didn't talk about having sex with Carl Malden.
Okay, and so. You know, it's. I'm not going to be mean to him today.
I'm tracking with you. He's
baking this weekend.
We're baking.
And we'll talk about that later. We're not going down that road now.
Okay,
stop.
All right. Zip it.
Sometimes it's like wrangling. It's like wrangling an ocelot to do this show. So I'm. During the play, it became apparent to me that there was not. It would come up, you know, we talk about our lives during rehearsal and everybody's chatting, that she has broken up with her boyfriend. And I remember just hearing that, but not even thinking. But as soon as I heard that going, you know, I had the Dumb and Dumber reaction, you know. So you're telling me there's a chance. 1 in 10, maybe 1 in a million. That was, but I never articulated it. I was still intimidated. But as the play went on and we rehearsed, we were really good on stage. And there is a scene, I think it's in the second act, right before the end, or it might be the end of the show, where we have a kiss on stage, where we kiss on stage. And as we kiss, the curtain comes down and everybody clap, 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 clap. I don't remember whether it was the end of the play. I'm not sure. I'd have to go back and look at the play, whether it's the end or it's in the middle, but that's the scene as it goes down. So we rehearse, and it's a theater kiss. You're kind of like, you know, mouth together, bit like that. And then we're like, okay, what's next? And we run off. So comes to the last Saturday night, the Saturday night before the Sunday matinee. Mm-hmm. It's our second to last performance. Mm-hmm. And we're on stage like that. And it's one of those shows where things are really, really going well. Things are really, really, really going well. This is a wonderful, warm, and fuzzy story for me, okay? If you don't mind me telling it.
No.
I tell a lot of self-deprecating stories, but this is a wonderful moment for me. It really was. As a young man filled with hormones, it is a wonderful. So
We are sitting there. We're doing our scenes. It's just the play is going better. And it was a great play anyway.
Sure.
Great cast. Great director. Remember his name? Jim Britt, Broadway director. That we got some of the Broadway directors that would come up from New York. And it was a big deal. And he was wonderful. And it comes to that scene where we kiss on stage. And the audience, you can hear them on the other side as the curtain comes down. It just gives us a really, really nice round of applause. And as that moment on stage suddenly became real, and it just was there, and it was, and it happened, and we had like this embrace, and it just was romantic, and we ended up becoming involved.
Whoa.
And it was spectacular.
A big curly W.
That is the only time I will ever tell that romantic story on this show, but it was a moment for me. And it is a moment I will never forget as a young man. It was really, and I should also point out, full disclosure, extraordinarily short-lived, which means that perhaps she, you know, I was one of a few, if I was guessing. Or I disappointed.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right, Oscar. That might be the case, too.
We represent.
But anyway, that could have been the case. I'll always be paranoid about that. What? Now, what do you want to add?
I just want to obviously
what bodily fluid comment.
No.
Do you want to
add
to ruin
this?
What I have handled, which I have crafted into a reasonably broadcast friendly message.
There will
what
be
do
nothing,
you want to talk
this
about?
This is
now?
Simply a newsman style follow up because there is one point.
By the way, your father right now just wrote me, yay, Mike.
he wrote yay, actress is what he wrote.
Okay. Yay, actress. That's right.
Yeah. When you were on stage and this became from a stage kiss to something more.
It's the end of the scene. So we go back to the dressing room afterwards.
But do you recall?
We didn't talk to each other.
Do you recall who was the instigator in taking it to the next level?
She was.
That makes it hotter.
I'm 59 years old and I'm still talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my greatest memories at Marist College. Would you like to hear if do we have 1 minute or
sure,
2 minutes
sure.
for the counterpoint?
Yes. You're gonna get the actress on the phone?
I am next to I move out of my dorm. I've talked about Birdman, the guy that hung out the window and the weird roommate and all that. So I moved over to an on-campus house. They were like little circular dorms, but they were one level. There's just a limited number of guys. It was a choice housing. Somehow I got it in my sophomore year, and it was a big deal to get into this housing. And next to us was the fashion design program that had been absorbed by Marist College from another school that was a fashion design school. And all these women, these fashion design women, they were all over at this dorm, and we became friendly with them, and it was really, really cool. And so I befriended this one lady who was very, very, very cute and very special. And I don't know how it happened, but it turned out that we ended up deciding that we were going to go to spring break together. And we were going to fly down to Sarasota, Florida, and go to spring break, to the road less traveled spring break. And I thought, even though we were not involved, we were just friends, but I said, well, there's got to be,
Travel involved.
Sure.
Oh my God, there's travel involved. And we got on the plane. We sit next to each other on the plane. And there was this guy named Frank. I think his name was Biscardi. I think that's what his name was. And he was this class president, kind of clean cut, good looking Italian guy.
Damn
and
glad to meet you.
Chiseled chin.
And it chiseled real together, kind of looked like, he's pre-law all the way, right?
Yeah.
Looked like this guy, as a junior in college, looked like he was going places,
Frank
right?
Drebin.
So we sit down.
Not Frank
and
Drebin.
I'm thinking, I don't know. I'm going to be a gentleman and we'll, but she's beautiful and it's going to be fun. And we're fine. We're friends. And I was a cool enough person where I think she knew not to, that it wasn't a big deal. But I was holding out hope that maybe there would be something there. And we sit on the plane. We get on the plane. Well, before we're even taxiing, she says, I just have to tell you something. I am in love with Frank Biscardi.
Oh.
And I remember, at that moment, it was, that was my moment. And
how did you react? to that?
I was just, I was like, I think I made a joke about it. I said, well, that's great to hear.
You too?
I'm off the plane. I'm leaving. You too.
That's why I'm going down there.
I hope he's down there.
I spent a lot of time by myself out at bars drinking when I went to Sarasota. And I remember I ran in, the only thing that happened that was fun, I ran into Larry Zonka from the Miami Dolphins. So weird. I've had a weird life.
How far did you get with Larry Zonka?
Second base. Like granite. Still in shape.
Yeah.
From his playing days.
Sure.
Wonderful guy. Bad nose, though. Really bad break. But anyway, we'll take a break and come back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hey, it's Chris Frantz with Political Persuasions. On the show this week, Mike and I have got your election postmortem. We'll tell you what the results mean for the next 2 years. Plus, the president pulls a CNN reporter's White House pass on fabricated grounds. Scary authoritarian moves by the White House. And you know, when the calm guy on the program is scared, we got something to worry about. Tune in.
You can download Political Persuasions at politicalpersuasions.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever fine podcasts are found.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Sleep Number. We all know sleep is important, but consider someone you know who is in the military or a veteran. Imagine how much a good night's sleep means to them. From military heroes to everyday heroes, the new Sleep Number 360 smart bed helps everyone get the proven quality sleep that will change their life. So many couples disagree on mattress firmness. Sleep Number beds let you choose your ideal firmness on each side. I love it. It's just right for both of you. The new beds are so smart, they sense your every move and automatically adjust to you, keeping you sleeping comfortably through the night. And more importantly, waking up in the morning and not having like one of those cricks in your neck. Mm-hmm. Because when you have a weird position, the Sleep Number bed will actually compensate for that. Now, my Sleep Number setting is an 85. Carla's is a 65 again. She's back to normal. Mm-hmm. And we love it for her. That's her normal Sleep Number setting. We really do love it. Come in during the Veterans Day sale and save $400 on a Queen Sleep Number 360 C4 smart bed. Now only $1,299. Plus, there's exclusive savings reserved for our military and our veterans. There are exclusive savings reserved for our military and our veterans. Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. You'll only find Sleep Number at one of their 550 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Visit sleepnumber.com/TMOS to find the one nearest you and tell them that Mike O'Mara sent you. That is really, really important, and we would really, really, really love you to do that. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. It's a very busy weekend, as we mentioned before. Rob Spiewak opens up the Keebler Elf Kitchen this weekend.
We are baking
it's
them in a tree, Mike.
Baking weekend, everybody.
It's very exciting. One of the things that's most exciting is to going through the inventory of ingredients. And there are towers of ingredients that we have set up at the bakery. And this is wild because...
All right, I'm going to take it from here. I want to say this. Are you excited about it? I just want to get your feelings out of it before you give like some detail that's going to be, you know...
I'm extraordinarily excited.
You're not going to be able to handle this one either. Anyway,
may I weigh in?
Please do. Thank
you. Yeah, Oscar,
yes,
save me as you always do. Say something
thank
witty.
You. Thank you. I want it to be handled.
Why are you calling me names?
I'm not.
We're friends.
Are we?
Mike, are you stressed out? Are you stressed out about the weekend?
There's no reason to be stressed out.
Mike, we're going to use our fist to make sure that these fruitcakes rock and roll.
Nice save, Oscar.
You're excited about it, right, Rob? You're excited about it?
100%. It's something that I love doing, and it's very cool to take it to the next level.
Now, you said before that your mom didn't want to come by. She felt like pressure. Is there a chance that she would just swing by to see what was going on?
Because she might.
She's responsible for this, really,
but
ultimately.
The thing is that she... with her back and knees, because she's not a young woman anymore, she can't spend the whole day on her feet in a factory like bakery like that.
Get her a chair.
I will get her a chair, but she will come by. And
she is going to come by.
She didn't want to come by on the first day because she said, "What's going to happen on the first day?" I said, "Well, the first day is the day that we'll sort of get
logistics
and systems
in
place."
This is what's fascinating. And by the way, Rob, he cares. He cares so much about these fruitcakes. God.
This is the best. This is the best guy in the world for this
he
job.
He really wants quality control.
100%.
Right?
Yeah.
QC is key.
Mm-hmm.
And in a wild and weird way, our experience yours in the world of baking and mine in the world of retail and my time with Mangrates has overlapped.
It's been a weird but sort of happy marriage.
It's so crazy.
It is.
The idea.
It's so, for me, on my, and I'm really, really.
Mike has
everything
provided
we've
nothing
ever done
to this equation.
I am on the outside.
Zip
and I.
Zero.
I embrace that statement gratefully. I am on the outside looking in, but yes, there is, I think you two know, there is no shortage of appreciation because I know how much has gone into this and I am proud of it. And this is hopefully going to be something we do every year. And we increase the numbers because people are going to go, God, this was so great. I missed out on it. I want to get involved next year.
I kick because so really I care, excited. Mike. Know that.
I understand. But you're right.
No, we're not. This is a group project. But
no.
Mike, I'm you don't understand. For us, it's always how do we make sure that the brand, the Mike O'Mara Show brand, shines from these fruitcakes.
Exactly.
Right.
From the type of container down to your deluxe box.
Yeah, the shipping, the packaging, shipping, the ingredients going in.
We want to make sure the type of box that arrives to you is not crushed as it goes to USPS.
Right.
So these are the small factors.
Oh, by the way, let me just say
even down to two colors of raisins in every fruitcake.
Thank you. Let me say this to our consumers and our fruitcake purchasers. If your box is crushed, I don't want to effing hear about it. Do you understand me? I don't want to hear about it. I don't care. Okay. Oscar and Robert talking about quality control. I'm talking about sleepless nights. You keep that crap to yourself. All right. This is a partnership with our listeners. All right. You're going to do it. Can I say all right one more time? I feel like the house boy in Birdcage, you know, we're going to give you the fur cakes to make money for the show. Okay. This is a fundraiser for the show. Okay. We're not asking for just a donation. Okay. That's where
can you
we're
wear
doing,
shoes?
So. The licensing, yes, the commercial kitchen.
I cannot wear shoes. They make me fall down.
God willing. With insurance policies, everything that it takes to build a business.
Yeah. It's certainly been a learning curve.
It doesn't matter. Look, we could be moving 50 fruitcakes and you still need all of these other working parts.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So, God willing, next year we double our sales.
Right.
But this year.
Can I ask you a question selfishly?
Yeah.
When am I going to get mine?
Well, there'll be no fruitcakes for you, Mike, because you didn't get in under the wire. There was a deadline.
You bastard. Oh, my God. No. Well, screw me.
Did
maybe next
account
year.
For him?
I don't think so. We have one for Tom Suter, I know.
One for Carla.
One for Carla. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Boy, that's. Well, you know what? I'll run the video when it arrives.
How about this, Mike?
Because when it arrives at the house, since you only got one for Carla, it's going to be do. Oh, okay. How are they being delivered? Post office or FedEx?
Stamps.com, Mike.
Stamps.com. Yep. Post office.
Okay. The USPS.
So they're coming in. They're coming in. It'll be like, Give it to me. Give it to me. I want it now. I got my whipped cream, you bitch. Give it to me. Come on now. I'll kill you.
Mike, I know it's a little early for a Christmas miracle, but I want you to know this.
Yes.
I allowed for one extra fruitcake.
What?
And thank that you. One is for you.
Thank you very much.
It's called shrinkage.
But you do not get the deluxe packaging.
I don't want it. I just want it to, you know, you can put yours and wrap it in tissue paper and send it to me, even if the tissue paper sticks to the fruitcake.
I allotted for a percentage of fruitcakes that will be stolen by the workers.
Yeah.
We've accounted for almost everything, Mike.
You see Pony running down.
I know that was supposed to be packed up.
Yeah.
I don't know that kitchen lady either.
That's right.
I am excited. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be very, very special for me. And, I'm not making fruitcakes, but I am performing this weekend, gentlemen, here now. I am performing with the Northport Symphony Orchestra on Sunday at 3 p.m. In a performance known as Lincoln's Portrait. Where I will be channeling my inner Gregory Peck. That is what he said. That is what Abraham Lincoln said.
Would it be possible for you to start the program with your normal, wonderful announcer, stentorian announcer voice, and then...
I'm not going to use the stentorian announcer
voice.
Stentorian. I'm thinking... Well,
stately.
Stately.
Ballsy.
I'm thinking of doing it like...
Fruitcake.
Jiminy Click. Jiminy Glick.
That's what he said. That's what Abraham Lincoln said, boy.
He went to the theater, boy.
Right.
He went to the theater, boy.
But to
Robert Romanski and the Northport Symphony. Looking forward to meeting all of you. And, you know, no one will be able to pick me out of a lineup, but there will be a large symphony hall filled with people who I will be performing in tuxedo. I tried on my tuxedo, and it looks wonderful.
Ooh.
And the only thing I somehow in my many, many closet edits, I no longer am in possession of a tuxedo shirt. So that will be acquired.
They'll get you with that shirt all the time.
That will be acquired over the weekend. And
black tie, or are you going to have something a little fancy on the tie?
I'm not going to do what you do, okay, Soupy? I'm not going to be, you know, like...
What the hell does that mean?
Wait, you want me to put Christmas ornaments on it or something like that? Or look at me look at me purple or something like that?
I had a black tie the last time.
You had a black tie. You've worn bow ties of every possible shape. By the way,
it sounds to me like you are maybe a little nervous and you're projecting on me. I just wanted to know if you were going to wear a colored tie.
Let me tell you something. If you're not nervous going into a performance, you're not going to perform well.
Okay, Wayne.
But no, your godson,
yes.
Both of your godsons,
yes.
We are over the weekend going to be looking at kids' bow ties because he had a cute little bow tie.
Oh, that's
I think
nice.
You saw the picture on mm-hmm. social media that I put up. And he did it on his own when we were going out to dinner. He put a little, he had a golf shirt on and he put a bow tie on.
That's cute.
And now he's into bow tie and that's going to be his thing, that he wears little bow ties and he's cute and he's adorable and he's going to be doing that. So we got that.
Mike, if you look like an emperor penguin once you get dressed, make sure you remind Carla that they mate for life.
That's right.
Hey, she's your penguin.
I understand that. I have a logistical question for you. Are we doing his thing before or after we do the thing?
We're doing his thing before the other thing.
Yes. So we're doing technically his thing next.
Yeah, absolutely. Technically and in reality.
Is that how it's working?
That's how it's going
to
work.
Okay, that's fine. That's all I needed to know. Then I'm cool. I'm cool with that. But we're not breaking right now.
No.
Because I know we're going to break in about 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. That should be fine.
Just want to. We're doing things
we're
out
do
of sequence
thing.
Today.
Pocket
we're doing
square?
Things out of sequence.
Pocket square for your talks?
Boy, good idea. Yeah.
I recommend orange. It looks really nice on stage. It pops. Frank Sinatra used to wear an orange pocket square, and it's a little off, but not enough to say, hey, that guy's an idiot.
Your Frank Sinatra obsession is gone too far.
I will say this about
Rob. It's the first time I've mentioned Frank Sinatra in 2 years on the show.
No, you just did 2 weeks ago when you said you can't wear tux on Sundays.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah,
you know what?
The maestro of the Northport Symphony, Robert Romanski, said that is in error.
That's not wrong. You call me in the office, Robert.
He said that is an old rule. That's an old school rule.
You know what
that's
another old
the days,
rule is?
That, hold on. Wait a minute. That's
don't
from
lie,
the days
don't
of the
kill,
Rat Pack.
Don't
okay,
covet.
That's the
These
Ten
are
Commandments.
The real All rules. Right. I believe there was a commandment about pocket squares.
You will admit, Oscar, that Rob Spiewak with his blue tuxedo jacket, that was pretty.
Oh, you look great.
How many, and you buy all these, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, once you have the separates, Mike, you just need to accessorize.
How many?
God,
you are such
right,
a queen.
Though.
God.
You're
the softest man I know. Anyway, so the let me.
Not
how
after
many,
talking to you, big boy.
All right. How many? Okay.
God, I gotta sit here and stare at it.
Yeah.
He is so ramped up for baking weekend. It is like
it's
crazy.
Either that I'm either ramped up for baking or for a hole in the ground. It's gonna happen one way or the other.
How many tuxedo jackets do you currently own?
In various sizes.
Yeah, in various sizes.
Probably six.
Six tuxedos.
I have the new blue
he
one.
He wears cargo shorts every day. He has six tuxedo
You're
jackets.
Spending
though.
Your money the wrong way.
The red
Let me
plaid,
say, I'm
the
gonna
white
give
dinner
you a plug.
Jacket. Yeah,
I'm going to give you a plug, and
How's
you're
that?
Probably going to get a gig out of it. I'm going to say this right now: if you need somebody to like MC your function, that's black tie.
Oh, yeah.
If you're a charity that is really looking to Rob will do it for a surprisingly small amount
if you're
of money,
traveling
but he'll do
carnival.
It. If you want to bring somebody who would look good in black tie and would be a wonderful MC for your, you know, throw a few $100 his way. He'll
yeah,
come
you'd
out
be and, shocked what you can get on your investment.
He'll make your evening something
well,
special.
We work at the art charity.
Yeah, we've done the charity thing there. And I've done stuff with, there's another, I've done several things for
multiple sclerosis.
Yeah, leukemia is mostly what I do. But leukemia
is the blue one to me was, I have no need for tuxedos anymore, except for this thing that came up.
Well, there might be one more time.
But the blue, yeah, no, I'm not wearing that in a casket. The blue one was, to me, the best one you've ever had. It was the most together one. Yeah. And the blue does look great. And a lot of people, like when you see the Academy Awards, they wear those blue ones.
I enjoyed the cheetah.
Oh, you know what, Mike? I'm sorry, seven.
That's seven. You have seven.
I forgot about that one.
What size are they, by the way? Are they 54?
That was a 52, I think. The most recent one is a 52.
52. What's the biggest one you own?
I think there may have been a 58.
That big?
I think so. It was either 56 or 58.
Okay. All right. All right. So, but most of them are in
our brand new Hindenburg line.
My fridge at home
have
is a 54.
Miles and miles of fabric.
But yeah, I mean, I could gain or lose 30 pounds at any time and still make a wedding.
Okay, that's cool. That's and your pants. Do you? So you say separates? Do you only have like a couple of pairs of tuxedo pants?
I have two pairs that I fit into right now, and a couple extras. I think probably four pairs of pants.
And they're all like on hangers, looking good in the laundered, closet, ready to go.
Only three of them have the satin stripe on the end, on the outside leg. Because there's a certain fashion sort of trend right now where you don't have the stripe. I still like the stripe on the pants.
Oh, I've got a stripe. I like it.
But I also have a wide and a narrow stripe, too.
What's that? What did you
stripe
say?
Stripe is classic.
Yeah.
Really?
I know it still works, absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's all classic. Right. I think it is.
Otherwise, you're just wearing dress pants.
Yeah, black pants. Yeah.
And as far as the shirt mm-hmm. that I'll be acquiring this weekend, anything that I need to know
I would
about?
Go with a down collar, not the the wing collar.
I don't do the wings.
Yeah.
Down collar.
And
down
I actually, the most recent shirt I bought, it is a button-down collar, but the buttons are underneath, and it really keeps the collar looking really sharp. It looks nice, so look for that.
Yeah, because men of larger carriage, when they wear a shirt that's buttoned at the top, the collars want to go. All right. We will take a break when we come back, ladies and gentlemen.
What does the collar do?
Oscar's take coming up next on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Oh, it's Paulie. The other day, I got a call from my sweet mother about her microwave being on the fritz. Now, back in the day, I knew a guy that I could get one from the trunk of his car. But now, in these modern times, I go to the Mike O'Mara Show website where I clicked on the holiday shopping center banner to shop with the three giants of industry, Macy's.com, Target.com, and Walmart.com, to get my sweet dear mother one of them over there. Now, you P1s should go over the same place for your mother and get something nice for her for this holiday season, or you're going to get a lump of coal in your holiday stocking. Capiche? Now let's get back to the grand poobah of poppers, Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Paulie. Thanks for the new promo. Appreciate it. And I was kidding yesterday. What's going on?
Looking at it, Mike, this is not Oscar's take. We have another break before Oscar's take.
Oh, okay. All right. So that means we'll do the thing, and then we'll do
that's
Oscar's
right.
Take.
Yes, my bad on that. Gotcha. My apologies.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. This segment of the program brought to you by Talkspace. Talkspace is the online therapy company that lets you message a licensed therapist anytime, anywhere, using your computer or the Talkspace mobile app. With Talkspace, anyone can get therapy, and for much less money than traditional therapy. It's tough when you're negotiating, finding a therapist with insurance and things like that. So having an opportunity to get some that's cost-effective is a really, really decent thing to pursue. You can start right now with a licensed therapist that understands how you live your life today. No appointments, no leaving the office, and no judgments. You talk with the same therapist every time, and they'll always be there to listen and help and make positive changes. For all of you, look, it's a stressful world out there. We all deal with it. I've had therapy. I think it's great. I think it's good for people. And a lot of people don't do it for a variety of reasons. Talkspace makes it easier for you. Sometimes all you need is someone to listen. If you're feeling like things are getting out of control, check it out. Talkspace will be there for you. Check out Talkspace.com to read about Olympian Michael Phelps. He did it too. He was under a lot of pressure, and therapy helped him tremendously. It can help you too. The Talkspace platform has over 2,000 licensed therapists who are experienced in addressing life challenges that we all face. To match with a perfect therapist for a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, go to Talkspace.com/TMOS and use the code TMOS to get $45 off your first month and show your support for this show. That's TMOS and Talkspace.com/TMOS. Start feeling better today. Really, what a wonderful group of people. They're doing very, very good work over there. Want to give you a movie review because Mrs. O'Mara and I went to the cinema. And
is she better about going to the movies now? Because about a year ago, Carla, she was so anti-movie.
It's so cool when you finally get established in a place and you know you start seeing people again and you start knowing people.
Right.
And we've got this theater manager that runs this place. I'll give him a plug. It's the Prado Cinemas. It's one of those where they have a bar outside. One of
it's
those
owned by Alex Papp, right?
Prado Real Estate.
Prado Real Estate.
Exactly.
It's Prado down in Bonita. And it's really, really, we know the manager and one of the few times I've ever come out of a movie, and it was like when we go, late afternoon, and he said, "How do you like it?" And we talk movies with the guy, and he remembers us, and we just have a great rapport, and that's kind of old school.
You're able
to go to a smaller theater and see a guy instead of just, walking in where, you got the gum-chewing kids that don't know you exist. It's really cool.
We're not supposed to put butter on the milk duds.
He's a good guy. We chatted for 15 minutes with the guy before we went into the movie. That makes a difference. And we decided, I'm old school, and I wanted to see Robert Redford's last movie that he's making. Mm-hmm. So I went to see The Old Man with a Gun.
Yeah.
And that's Robert Redford being Robert Redford. And as Carla, in her limited cinematic knowledge way, said to me, coming out, he acts the same way in every movie. I said, yes, that's what major stars do. Mm-hmm. That is exactly what Robert Redford does. So if you like Robert Redford, though, it's worth going to see. And just a cute, cool movie.
It's a caper movie, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's something where, not in the purest sense of the word, though. It's
okay.
But it's got Tom Waits, who is, he's just so quirky and cool. I really love watching him on screen. Got Danny Glover in it. And the only weak link is Academy Award winner Casey Affleck, who appears to be sleepy in every scene. Now, I realize that his role is the put-upon detective role, but Casey, I don't understand why you were on the verge of losing consciousness for the entire film.
You're not really giving him high marks, Mike.
No, I found myself...
Is he overplaying the part?
I don't know he's doing.
Underplaying.
I don't know what he's doing, but let me put it to you this way. For a movie that I enjoy, I was entertained by, one-third into it, after that point, every time Casey Affleck would come on screen, I'd go, oh. Okay, Casey, we know you're tired. We know and he's just... I mean, I think you got a young guy, the second Affleck brother, who has...
third, probably, counting Trip.
He has realized that... When you get rewarded by doing the hangdoggy kind of deal there, and it was just it was little teasers.
Based on what you're saying, all I can imagine is that Robert Redford probably spent most of the shoot pissed at him.
It was.
Can you please act, please, please?
Yeah, it was a weird little world, and cute, and to see in the theater Robert Redford for what may or may not, he says it's going to be his last film. And
he said that about the boat movie too, though. Remember the movie
where he
was on
a sailboat?
I think he was on the sailboat movie. It was going to be his last movie.
But he's so Robert Redfordy, and it's amazing that he's over 80 now, right?
Yeah,
and he's he still has that Robert Redford thing going on, and. What Robert Redford does, and what I remember when you see an old-time movie star, is he does cool, and ultimately the mega stars kind of do cool, and nobody does cool like Robert Redford kind of does cool and understated, and nothing phases him, and it's a perfect role for him. So if you want to have some good escapist fun, go out and see The Old Man and the Gun. I think that's what it's called. It's
very cool.
It was a good movie. And the only problem I have, and I'm all for Sissy Spacek. She's an Academy Award winner.
You've said it for years, Mike.
She's fine. She was in Bloodline, the show that Pony and I like so bad. And she's talented. But I got home, and later that night, I went to the The Prime Video offering of Homecoming starring Julia Roberts. They're promoting that everywhere now. That's the big one. I wanted to take a peek at that. And Julia Roberts is really, really good. And Sissy Spacek plays her mother. So when you've seen Sissy Spacek in a theater for 90 minutes, and then you go home and it's like, oh, I mean, I like her all well and good. I didn't want to see her like in my brand new TV show after I got done seeing her in the
movie. And then you just popped in your Blu-ray of Coal Miner's Daughter.
Coal Miner's Daughter.
You're off to the races.
Which, by the way, almost the first films of Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah, he's still Tommy Lee Jonesy in that movie.
But how about that? There we go. Yeah, that's right. I tell you, I got a guy down here that his real name is Greg, but I call him Tommy because he sounds exactly like that.
Oh, no.
I want a hard target search of every hen house, out house. I want to do that right now. What's the matter? All right, why don't you do that right now? All right, all right. He calls me, and you know what? Somehow I've projected the whole persona of Tommy Lee.
Yes.
And this season I'm in a little bit where he starts calling me O. He said, "Why don't you ask O? Ask O. He'll tell you about it. O's over there like that." I love it. I love it. It's like being on the team.
That's
it's like
great.
Being on the football team. O will tell you. Yeah, he's a good guy. I know. I like O. How you doing, O? Yeah. Hey, how about we're gonna get a red tie this weekend? We're gonna get a red tie, though. You boys ain't gonna win. Hey, they, oh, hey, how about you? Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, Tommy. Hey, oh. Hey, Tommy. Hey, oh. Hey, one of the boys. Can I play? Anyway, that's
we
it.
Got
that's
seeds of TLJ when he made Coal Miner's Daughter, but I think he really came into it was The Fugitive when he really became the Tommy Lee Jones that we know.
That's right. I think so. Best remember.
Yeah.
That was it. I will tell you, though, Tommy Lee being the Tommy Leeist is no country for old men. Oh. That is pure Tommy Lee.
Yeah,
you know,
it is.
You see, even though it comes down to a matter of a man and steer, the deal's not settled. I'm going to get, you know, one day I'm going to get all of his great lines and I'm going to do them right here because they're just going to have a Tommy Lee. Tommy Lee Jones is just so unique. He's everything I love about the movies. A guy like that being a megastar.
There was a meme a couple years ago where they flashed him in the audience of the Academy Awards and he was just mirthless. Just no smile. I love that about him too. So that's good.
Well, if you heard that Tommy Lee was a real vice guy in real life, wouldn't that kind of diminish the persona a little bit?
You want him to be like Boo from Boo. The Coal Miner's Daughter.
Yeah, I mean, I would like, if I met Tommy Lee, it would be like, I'd walk up to him and say, "Mr. Jones, I just want to say I'm a massive fan and I've enjoyed all your movies." And he said, "Of course you did. Of course you have. How could you like anything else? Of course you like my movies. Everybody likes my movies. That's nothing special. What you got for me that's special? I like your jacket. That's a compliment, too. Why don't we have a meaningful conversation? Sitting over here blowing smoke up my ass. Come on now. Cut it out. All right. We'll take a break. We will come back with more fun and more throws. Oscars take.
Finally, yes.
Right here on The Mike O'Mara Show, ladies and gentlemen.
Carla O'Mara here. You know what I was just thinking about? Yeah, you guessed it.
Oh, come on! I'm sorry, it's too old.
Oh,
I'm gonna have her do another one.
It was so sexy, though.
It's so great.
I'm so sorry. No, it makes me. I. It's old. It's old. Our relationship's not. But it's old. All right. Thank you. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Brought to you by Trade Coffee. We tried to shoehorn Trade Coffee into the O'Reilly interview, but it didn't work. He was talking. It's the best time of year for a great cup of coffee, and whether you're a caffeine coffee nerd or just someone who loves a great cup, you need Trade Coffee. Trade partners with 50 of the best roasters in the United States and features over 400 unique coffees that they deliver right to your door. Even better, your coffee is roasted only after you order it, so it's going to be the freshest coffee you've ever tasted. Trade has the coffee you need, and if you're a coffee novice, never fear. Just go to drinktrade.com. They have a simple 6-question quiz and a magic algorithm that will match you up with the perfect coffee for your palate. Before you know it, you'll have a list of choices all perfectly suited to what you like. Perfect coffee, perfectly matched to you, and as fresh as can be. Perfect is easy at drinktrade.com. Trade Coffee is so excited for you to give them a try. They're going to knock 50% off any bag of coffee you like when you place your first order. Just go to drinktrade.com and use the promo code TMOS. Remember that promo code TMOS, and you get half off a bag of coffee on your first order at drinktrade.com. Thank you. Hi, Chad. Wow, let's open up the audio vault. We're sorry no Oscars take this week. Running super late because of Mr. Bill O'Reilly.
Thanks,
but always
Bill.
A pleasure. And Bill's book is Killing the SS. And that's
did we
one...
even talk about his book?
Yeah, we never did. But he doesn't need us to talk about it. He wouldn't come on the show if we didn't sell books for him.
I am fascinated, by the way, with this book.
This book
and how they hunted these guys down. Mm-hmm.
Yep, it is very cool.
Damn, Daniel. Yeah.
I mean, it's
Klaus Barbie, Adolf Eichmann, Martin Born. God, look at these bastards.
Now, none of them went to Marist.
They all look so incredibly evil. Rob Spiewak, we've opened up your audio vault. Let's see what he's got today.
Hello, Mike. I am your roommate. I seldom do a follow-up story. But do you remember the closer of yesterday's audio vault when the man was evicted in Kansas City and he had the alligator?
Yeah.
He had a 6-foot alligator. By the way, a 6-foot alligator has the strength of about a 900-pound person. I mean, they are just the strength of an alligator is crazy.
A 6-foot gator. I live down here, boys. I live where the gators are. A 6-pound gator is a very large gator. It's not a small gator. A 3-pound gator can hurt. A 3-foot gator can hurt you bad.
What we didn't know when we covered the story yesterday is where he was keeping the gator. Because remember, he said it was a sweet, cuddly gator that would wag its tail. He was keeping him in the hot tub. Now, you may be wondering, what does it sound like when people in Kansas City try to extract a 6-foot gator from a hot tub?
Oh,
Mike,
my God.
I have the audio for you right now.
Flop around, he'll wear down, and then he'll slow down.
Yeah.
He said, wear him out, and he'll slow him down.
Let him hit his nose up there. Just let him roll. Don't worry about him.
Yeah. Strong.
That means he can bite. Let him roll for a while. Let his wear down and you just let him go for the ride.
He said, don't worry about that. Good idea.
Right,
buddy.
Chill out.
Come here, buddy. Videotape this, Art.
That's the best.
It's a bunch of morons.
You just hear, all you can hear is the gator thrashing with the guys. Bleep, 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 bleep.
Yeah, he keeps saying that what they got to do is wear him out. Wear him out.
Play it again.
Then
play it again. I love that.
It's still going.
Chill out right now. We're just letting him relax. Slow down. If I get him out on the ground, I would pin him with that toe and put the weight down on him.
Yeah,
you're in there, you're liable to lose footing on him and get yourself bit because everything comes loose.
Once you throw out,
And again, the most amazing part of that story is that it's not in Florida. That is such a Florida story. Let's hear the splash just a little more.
Let the flop around, he'll wear down, and then he'll slow down.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on in Kansas City, Mike. And in Miami, they had another animal incident in which they looked out in the road and what's walking around in the street? A camel. There's a camel loose in Miami.
There's a camel on the loose in the Redlands. What? Why is there a camel in the middle of the street? Poor baby. He's lost and scared.
Not a baby.
We came in the car and saw that the camel was still kind of wandering around the street. We've seen a lot of animals around here because it's all agricultural, but not a camel. Somebody actually came and tied him to the fence right there so that he wouldn't be in the street. It's a special day, I guess.
So the Miami-Dade police released a statement that they got the camel back to its owner. It was never explained why someone in Miami owned a camel. They just got it back to its owner, and then they were very pleased to put out, since this happened the day before yesterday, they caught him on hump day.
Hey, get your hands off me. Get your hands off me.
I still don't like Will Ferrell, but of the movies of his that I hate the least is probably Elf. I think Elf is a pretty good movie.
You're alone on that one.
And to celebrate Elf, I think Oscar will appreciate that.
Elf.
There's a restaurant in Chicago called Miss Ricky's, and they are serving spaghetti with maple syrup and candy crumbled on it. And from now until Christmas, it's what the elf eats in the movie, of course.
Can you pass the maple syrup, please?
I didn't put it. It's spaghetti.
You know what? I think I have some. Yes.
You like sugar, huh?
Is there sugar in syrup?
Yes.
Then yes. We elves try to stick to the four main food groups. Candy canes, candy corns, and syrup.
And I think that's the first Will Ferrell tape we've played in like 5 years.
It's a fun movie. I know
it's a good Christmas movie.
It's a fun movie.
And
I'll
he fights
probably
Peter Dinklage.
Watch it with my little guy.
Oh, and he'll love it.
He will love it. He will love it.
By the way, we're going to be going to the, what's the animated Grinch one? The new Grinch one?
Oh, the new Grinch one? Yeah.
We'll be taking him to that. Yeah, yeah. All right. Anyway.
I think you'll love it. It's like the Robert Redford movie, but different.
Yeah. Can't wait.
Oh, congratulations to a brand new mother in Australia.
A woman in Australia last week gave birth to a 12 and a half pound baby without any pain relief medications. Said doctors, congratulations, it's a teenager.
All right, Dateline Iowa. Do you remember when the big Powerball, I think it was the Powerball ticket, that was split between two and one of them was not claimed right away? Okay. Remember there
was
$344.9 million. A lady in Iowa remembered she had bought a ticket, but she had lost it. It was on the floorboard of her sister's truck.
She got it? She found it?
She did, and she's very, very happy.
I have been extremely blessed to win this big Powerball. This will forever change my life. So currently I'm retired.
I love that.
October 26th. Started out like most other days. I got a slice of pizza, and I said, oh yeah, and can I get my lottery tickets? And I said to my sister, get that ticket, get in your truck, and get up here now and drive slow. I'm gonna buy a car. Currently I drive a Ford Fiesta that people have just beat up when I'm not in it. And it's got 142,000 miles on it.
Oh, God
and
bless you.
I'm gonna get a car big enough that I can take all my grandchildren places now.
I love the story. I love
sounds
the story.
Sounds wonderful. So that's the kind of person you want to win the lottery. Aww. Oh, man.
Now, I think that I'm about to pass a rule in my house that no more new Christmas music, because I haven't heard any good new Christmas music in a long time, and I'm good with cutting it off at, say, maybe even like 1980, because there's nothing good that's recent. And I love Eric Clapton. I think Eric Clapton is great. He's coming out with a Christmas album this year.
Okay.
And this, to me, this is Drek.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
Nope. Sorry, Eric. Just
like the one. Like he doesn't care.
You don't change the melody.
No.
You don't change the core of the melody. Come on.
What made it a hit?
It was a hit.
By the way, I don't want to say it.
Say it.
I'm thinking about it next year.
What?
I'm thinking about my own. I'm thinking about doing one.
Oh, just like
I'm thinking about doing one for
the
show.
Dennis Murphy days?
Yes.
I'm thinking about doing one.
Oh, you singing?
I haven't talked to you about this yet, Oscar, which I would, but I'm thinking about doing a real one. Like a real, like.
That'd be great.
Why are you looking at me? Why are you looking at me like that? Why are you looking at me like that? He just gave me, we communicate non-verbally.
I know.
He just nixed me by looking at me.
Meanwhile, I'm thinking our duet is going to be fantastic.
What about the standards?
Yeah, some of the old
it's
standards.
It's going to be all standards. Yeah.
I really can't
from the Boston
stay.
Pops.
Yeah, it's going to be, Oh Holy Night. I was thinking of that one.
Big soaring melody and note at the end.
I'm
get Dennis to do at least one?
No.
Thank you. Let's move
on. We'll sell
it
with the fruitcakes.
He's poo-pooing me. Okay. All right. Thank you, Pony. Thanks. All right. Just thinking about it.
I'm sorry,
just
Pony. Did we wake you?
Just an idea. Yeah. Look, all of a sudden he comes from the land of anime. We hear a voice from the pit.
Pain in the ass. All right, Mike. We will close with this. You have talked about, I don't know if it was on the show or before the show, that the sound that Beluga makes when he walks around because of his nails clacking on the floor, right?
Oh, it's the worst.
Right. I found a video of a pug at the veterinarian getting his nails trimmed. I call this...
they go nuts. They go out of their minds.
Pug pedicure. So now maybe I understand why you don't trim the nails.
Is this the pug screaming?
It is the pug screaming.
Yeah,
this
pug
is why
screaming.
He puts
those.
Up with the clacking of the nails. Okay, he's being held up and being trimmed right now. You can hear the trimming.
Like a velociraptor.
I'm sorry, that's actually a cut from Mike O'Mara's new Christmas album. Have a puggy Christmas.
You know, all I can think of is the fabulous... for some reason, when I hear that, and please don't send me letters about this either, but I somehow channel the old Big Owen Duke's bit, River or Life. I don't know why, but I do.
Mike, that's your magic audio vault. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Just the way I feel. Oh, my God. Another one.
Really? In done already?
Thanks for joining us for another riveting episode of the Mike O'Mara Show. If you've got a message you'd like to hear in our Tuesday mailbag, send it to Rob with two B's at MikeO'MaraShow.com. The holiday season is upon us. Check out our holiday shopping center at MikeO'MaraShow.com and see the fabulous holiday gifts from Macy's with their lowest prices of the season and free shipping when you spend, by the way, lowest prices of the season on their specials and free shipping when you spend $49 or more. For Oscar Santana and Rob Spiewak, this is Mike O'Mara thanking you for your continued amazing support for the best part of your day, the Mike O'Mara Show. Oh, and by the way, thank you to Bill O'Reilly.
Yes.
The book is Killing the SS. Thanks for letting me ask a couple of questions. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeO'MaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Okay. Come on.
Ooh, that's a bingo.